Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Hello.
So thank you for being an asshole. You let me desecrate you.
You let me penetrate you. Step, 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 step. You let me complicate you.
Help me. I broke apart my insides. But whatever Jake says, it just sounds so much more stupid. I've got no soul to tell.
Help me. The only thing that works for me. The heck, I'll take a poop. Help me get away
from myself. Ew, delicious.
I was wondering where it was going to stop.
Hello. Welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman, a podcast. I'm Ben, your sunshine into Gotham, and the baby brother.
I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that comes up with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week.
And I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in to the Brotherhood of Batman podcast, a podcast of three very different brothers who read Batman books in somewhat of a continuity order. We watch Batman movies, TV shows, and just kind of have a good time. I am going last this week because I came up with a drink for our episode. Jake, did you put one together?
I did. I followed the directions exactly.
Nice. So this is...
I didn't have any of those ingredients. I apologize. But
that's all right. Ben, you'll need to find them because it is quite tasty, I think. It is called a crocodile cooler or... sending the croc to the chiller, or whatever you want to call it. It is some lemon vodka, some Midori, some sweet and sour, and then some 7-Up. It's pretty tasty, I think. So,
yeah.
Happy episode 2 of season 5, if you are tuning in.
Yes, welcome back.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's a lot like the Midori sour. It's pretty good. And if we're not all pissing and shitting green by the end of this season, I will be impressed, so...
From all of the venom,
crocodile, poison ivy, all of the green that we are going to end up having this season.
All of St. Louis and be like, "Where is the run on Midori lately?"
It's that damn Brotherhood again.
Thank God, poison ivy is going to be back. I've only waited what 3 seasons.
Well,
we might skip
anyways,
that.
Anyways, what? I hate you. What's new in y'all's lives? Stop talking about
comic books or what do you think you're doing, you. Nerd? Stop
spending. Get the nerds! Nerd! Nerd! Or I
swear to God, you're gonna spend your 20 years alone. Geek.
I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
So I mentioned a while ago that Kelly gave me this Dear Holmes mystery by mail. So I finished the first mystery. It was 4 letters over the course of a month. And then you kind of work out the solution. And then at the end of the month, they send you the solution, which is cool because it's like the first 4 letters are written by somebody writing Sherlock Holmes with clues about what's going on. And then, you know, and then the last one is Holmes writing back to that person with the solution. So I finished the first one and yeah, it was cool. I got pretty close to having all of the information for the solution and passed it on to dad and mom. And I think they were messing around with it. And I sat outside a little bit this morning and I got the first 3 clues or letters of the next month mystery. So I started reading the first 2 of those and taking some notes, and I'm going to wait for the 4th letter to show up so that I can kind of do them all in, you know, in a row, which I think will make it a little bit different, but I think it's still fun. So it's a good time. Nice. So I'll have to pass those on to you guys if you're interested.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very very Riddler-esque.
Yeah.
Which is appropriate.
Very much.
I was saving this little bit of information for a week in Geek. Recently, we talked about the Batman trailer that dropped during DC Fandom. One of the things that I'm sure neither of you paid attention to, but one of the trailers that they released during there is an upcoming Batman-themed video game. So it is not... Not a direct continuation.
Gotham Knights.
Not a direct continuation from the Gotham Asylum series, or the Arkham Asylum series, But this one is going to feature, at least if you've watched the trailer, which I highly recommend you go do, is going to be Batman-less, because you are not running around as Batman. You are running around as four of his protégés, Batgirl, Dick Grayson Nightwing, Jason Todd Red Hood, or Tim Drake Robin.
I am so excited!
Yeah.
Is that going to be
on... Thank you for reminding me, Jacob, because you know I'm going to buy that.
No, it's going to be PS5 and then the Xbox S or whatever the next Xbox thing is.
Really?
Yeah. So
I'll tell you how it is, Aaron. Y'all know I'm a fan of PS5.
Well, here's the thing. I was just talking the other day. Like, we have a PlayStation 4 downstairs. We have the Switch up in the living room. And, like, most of the time, I have zero access to either of those. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll just get something for the bedroom so that I can play.
Yeah, and have full control over it. The trailer for the gameplay looks awesome. It looks like a co-op game, so you can have multiples of the heroes running around. Or you'll need to play as multiple and, like, do a quick switch between them to utilize their different kinds of skills.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Tim Drake, definitely, he's got, I mean, it is, the Robin costume's a little bit different. It's more of like a long Robin Hood tunic.
There's not really a cape.
But it's definitely like bo staff, and you see him messing around with tech stuff, and I mean, it's it's very much the Tim Drake we've talked
about.
They've
all got their specialties.
Yeah.
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 So.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, I definitely am excited about that.
Jason Todd uses guns, so they each have like totally different fighting styles. Yep. So it looks like there's some definite gameplay hours in there.
I'm surprised, Ben, that you paid attention to that. I guess if you saw the possibility
I
of a
did.
Tim Drake Robin, then.
I would play just for the other three. Like, I think it's cool. I really, really enjoy you know, because you had to listen to me talk about it on previous Weekend Geeks. But I really like the Spider-Man video game for PS4, and this looks similar with the fighting style and everything.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's more inspired off of Arkham, but I never played those.
Yeah.
So,
and we got a scene of the Court of Owls is definitely a big player, probably the main villain with the Talon showing up at the end. And then we saw Mr. Freeze as well, so I think those are the biggest villains we saw out of it.
Nice.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze looks sweet. So if you haven't seen it, Aaron, you'll have to watch it. It looks cool.
Yeah, well, and here's the other thing that's kind of drawing me to the PS5 in a year or so. It's going to be backwards compatible to the PS4 with the DualShock controllers. So all the PS4 games that I have that I haven't played, like the Spider-Man and some other things, like the Batman Arkham games, I can play them on that using the backwards compatibleness of it, which is a huge draw to me.
For sure. Yeah, me too. And actually, that kind of ties into like a personal Weekend Geek because... although I was excited to see the video game, I was like, well, that's a system I don't have, and I'm not a big video game. But I can no longer play Fortnite on my phone, so
yeah,
I might have to upgrade it to a new console system.
Yeah.
Well, when I get the 5, if the backwards compatible allows me to transfer my like save data and stuff, I will have a PS4 that I will be looking to get rid of. So we can talk about that in a year.
For sure.
So.
Totally. Good deal.
Or I'll just set up an extra TV in my comic room, and then we'll just have two PlayStations set up for no reason. That's probably.
I don't think I can get a TV in a closet, so I'm not allowed.
You're playing the PS5 on like a tiny little like microwave-sized television.
Totally.
I just watched the other night. I think I texted you guys. I watched the Birds of Prey movie.
Oh yeah,
that came out a year or so ago. It was cool. You've both seen it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I didn't really know what to expect, but I had recently watched the Harley Quinn cartoon, and I'm glad I had, because I think I enjoyed the movie more because I kind of knew that world. The cartoon is similar. The movie was fun. My husband enjoyed it a lot, and he doesn't really care about comic books or anything. But he watched most of the cartoon and fell right into the movie and really liked the movie. Yeah, it was fun. I will be honest, I am very, very particular with my Harley. And when the movie started and she had a voice going, I was like, this voice is terrible. And he's like, isn't it supposed to be kind of like
Jersey, like,
green,
whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but it's not exactly correct. It needs to be a little higher pitched. Like, I was very mad, but then I got into the movie after that. So
interesting. Yeah.
Because I never watched Suicide Squad. So this is my first introduction to Margot Robbie as Harley.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but I liked it. Overall, I thought it was pretty good.
I like her. I think she does a good job.
Well, should we jump into the issues this week?
Yeah. You want to give us a recap on what we read?
Awesome. Yep. I'll do a quick little recap here. We read Batman 488 through Batman 490. And this brings back one Mr. Jean-Paul, whatever his name is.
Valley.
But Azrael.
Valley.
Valley or something.
Valley.
So we have Azrael back in here. And we also have Killer Croc. And we have the Riddler showing up. Bane is predominantly featured in the background, kind of doing his note-taking, scouting reports on villains, and also on our Caped Crusader friend who is going through some crises of his own in his little downward spiral. So yeah, I think that's kind of what we need to know. This is our prelude episode 2, I guess, before we get into Nightfall. So what do you guys want to talk about in the book?
This is what I came here for. This is what I wanted. We've got multiple superheroes. We've got multiple villains that have actual like costumes and gimmicks and abilities, and they're all intertwined in a fantastic little three issues. I have been waiting. There's no mobsters in sight. There's no shenanigans. Tim Drake is like stepping into a leadership role, helping the new guy try to become a fake Batman. Like, I was living.
Wow, I was surprised that Ben actually liked something. Wow, that's amazing.
That's always that's a space on your bingo board. Yep.
Yeah, cross that one.
On a bingo board, you asshole. I mean, it's not my favorite thing ever, but Jake, well.
Yeah, well, no, I've owned these three issues for a while. When I got into Batman back when I was 16, 17 and working at the comic store and found out about the Nightfall saga, I bought up all those issues and then found out that there was a lead-in. So this has always been my lead-in for these stories.
Oh, really?
And I loved it. I mean, how much it connects to that animated episode that we watched with Toby and Connor.
I marked that down. Yeah, I totally wrote that too. Yeah.
How Bane used Killer Croc to like study Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Which I thought was good. You know, that I didn't realize when we had, you know, had the kids join that episode that it was actually going to be meaningful or have some kind of tie-in, which is cool.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah, totally a setup for what we're reading. So,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, but...
which we talked about in that episode, the animated series was happening, like, right after this. Like, that episode was literally made, like, a year or so after this. So it was all very fresh. It wasn't, like, a 10-year later retelling. It was like, hey, remember that popular comic book last year? Well, here's the cartoon version, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. How quickly that must have turned around. I mean, they must have either, you know, the DC comic publishing side wanted to push that story even further, or the animated series wanted to grab something that was new and fresh. Whichever, you know, side was the leader of making that happen, I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get too into the book, I want to talk real quick. I read the individual issues. I don't know if you guys have them in trades or what. But there were a couple ads in there that I found really interesting.
Oh, I didn't see that.
There's an ad in the issues for the cartoon that says, it's for the animated series comic book based off the cartoon, which I made you guys read some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, like the cartoon, you'll love the comic. And that for me was really impactful. Because I read that comic as it was coming out as a child, and that was the first comic I read. So it really brought me into the time period of when this came out. And these covers for the I don't remember what the other ad was. I think the other ad was like for the Funeral for All Friend. It was just hammering in that Superman had just died or whatever.
Right.
But I remember these covers of the comics, Jake, and the one with
Batman and Super Strong Riddler is like ingrained in my brain.
Yeah.
You used that book to try to get me excited for Nightfall. I don't know if you remember this.
I don't.
You're like, look, the Riddler, you're like, look, the Riddler, like, gets the Venom and he's all strong and Bane's getting all these villains together, blah, blah, blah. And I like actively remember the Riddler cover being like a cool thing.
My sales pitch.
When I was a child.
That's hilarious. I can imagine myself doing that. So
this Riddler definitely would not fit into the Catwoman suit. Just going to say that.
Well, let's go back to the beginning of the story.
It's pretty stretchy.
I mean, on the opening pages, we have Batman introducing Azrael to, or the idea of Azrael to Tim. Mm-hmm. Be like, hey, this guy is somebody that we want, A, not to become one of our villains, B, somebody that might be able to help us out.
I like that they're trying to be, you know, he's trying to be proactive. Like, this guy, this kid, you know, doesn't have as much knowledge and background and can go either way. And I wrote down that I really liked how he explained Azrael's origin without having, like, you know, that we talked about the image-ish style of the Azrael book we read a while ago. I like how they were able to give you back that origin story real quick in a way that, you know, was kind of like more of an explanatory towards Tim and getting him to understand that we can help this kid overcome his brainwashing and we can have him help us, as opposed to being somebody that is the oppositional down the road, which I think in Batman, you know, explaining it that way, I think gave us more of a deeper Batman than we had in a while on him actually like thinking through things as opposed to what we've seen from him before.
Yeah, he's not being so reactive. He's trying to be proactive here.
Well, until he becomes reactive very quickly and leaves Tim hanging out on the side of the road.
That's because Tim
makes one little comment.
Yeah,
one comment.
Tim needs to mind his own damn business.
Like, hey. Right? He's like, "Hey, so what's wrong with you?" And Bruce is like, "Fuck you, kid. You're walking home."
Yep.
It was. I thought it was a great reintroduction to Jean-Paul. It tied in on the randomness of Jake's list of comics that we had to read, so it was good to get him back. I thought it was interesting and, you know, completely sexist that Bruce is totally fine with Tim being in cahoots with Azrael, who is cutting up dogs, but Huntress, oh no, she might have killed one or two mobsters.
No,
true. She's a bad influence. But, you know, Tim, you go hang out with Azrael, and you can actually teach him to be a good person. But stay away from the scantily clad woman. Sorry. My soapbox.
No, I get what you're saying, though. I mean,
I didn't think very much just now.
Well, there's very much a double standard there, you know. I think, you know, Batman's going out of his way to give Jean-Paul a job at Wayne Corp, talking to Lucius Fox about having him come on. And I was looking, were you guys looking for Rob Schneider to show up in that scene at all?
Making copies.
Yeah, with the copies thing. But Ben's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's going to be several.
All I know about Rob Schneider is Rob Schneider, like from The Animal, that starred Colleen Haskell from Survivor.
Yeah, there was
SNL
skit about this guy that was was the copy guy, and he was just some loser sitting by the copy machine whenever people came by, and he's like, "Hey, making copies," and I just kind of expected that to happen here. But
what you guys didn't know is that Rob Schneider's copy guy was actually a Wayne Corp security guard that had a very detailed orientation on how to identify industrial espionage and how to stop it. So,
right.
I was blown away. We got 2 pages of job description. So Jean-Paul Valley gets a security guard job. Bruce sets him up with this job, and then they lay out how to do this job to the reader. Like, we have all these plans.
I could go do it.
I did too. I'm like, well, that's, you know, that's a good half hour training right there. Like, that's pretty good.
Jake, how long did it take you to read 2 pages? That shouldn't have been a half hour.
It's not a half hour. You know, just reading between the lines.
Well, you've got to look up every other word.
I do. That's a good point, though. There were a lot of words in these books. There's only three issues, and I did enjoy them. But I feel like they were, I mean, honestly, they are exposition. They are getting you ready for what's coming.
Right.
And so they had a lot of development they had to do.
When we've got Azrael and Tim trying to teach him, Azrael gets a new suit. And when he's putting on the suit, the first thing that came to my mind was, this suit looks like a buffed up Foot Clan soldier from Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
1,000%.
What is he doing?
Tim's like bragging about all the, he's like, look at all these pockets. Look at all these pouches, if you will.
Yeah.
His favorite word, pouches.
Pouches.
Right.
He's like, this one's for your food. This one's for the medicine. This one's for the smoke capsules. I'm like, damn, I want to remember. Like, that's harder to remember than the copy rules. Is Jean-Paul getting notes? Like,
yeah.
Does he have time to write it down?
He goes to take
the
one of his anti-venoms.
And
he gets a food supplement instead.
The worst thing you could do in battle, you reach for the smoke pellets, you know, to save yourself and cause a distraction, and you throw out a mini Snickers bar. Like,
well,
I envision John Paul as having like granola and like almonds in his pouches as opposed to
Snickers. Not even granola bars, just little pieces of granola.
Granola.
That's something that we've known that Batman and Robin have always had. They've always had these utility belts with all these, you know, quote unquote wonderful toys. But it definitely laid out like, I think that's what they're trying to set Jean-Paul Vallée up here for, is like, okay, you need all these things to be Batman. This is how we adventure. Like, putting all these pieces, all these bells and whistles into his uniform is going to pay off, or is going to influence this character as he continues to go on and on, and what
well,
it takes
shoot.
To be Batman.
Yeah.
The next issue, like, that was the first issue of these three. It's like, here's your ninja outfit. Then the next issue, it's like, just kidding on that. Here's Batman's actual costume, because he's losing it quick, and I need you to dress up like Batman and follow
right.
me around. But pretend like you're in charge. I'm like, mm-hmm. you just threw him in the deep end.
Right, yeah. I mean, this kid, you know, when we saw Azrael in the other book, he snapped, and it goes like full-on dog slaughtering, no mercy kind of snapping, and Tim's like, yeah, here, just wear the suit, it's fine, you'll be all right. Like, who knows whether the kid is going to, like, go full-on to his, you know, systematic process that was ingrained in him, who knows, but...
chop up Robin.
Yeah. I kind of feel like we should continue with the other characters and then talk about Bruce's progression through these issues. Are you guys good with it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
One thing real quick about the suits. Did you guys notice what Jean-Paul was wearing on his, and then at one point Bruce was wearing on his arm?
I did.
Oh, I did. I did. The Superman.
Did you see it, Jake?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The Superman.
Yeah, the Superman armband.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, honestly, until the last issue with Robin. I didn't catch that until the very end when they made it super apparent that he was
right.
wearing that. Yeah.
But it's throughout. And I thought it was such a great nod to this other huge story of what just happened.
Well, and then they also had a, they kind of had a nod, now that I kind of tie it to that. I didn't even think about it, but Tim does this Superman outfit reveal when he shows up to train Azrael. Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah. He, like, rips his shirt open. Superman style.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, Superman style. So I'm wondering if that was a nod to that as well.
Oh, yeah. Like, Superman, because at this point, Superman's still dead. Like, ads in the book that I was reading were for funeral for a friend. So there's no Superboy yet. There's no Steel. Superman Clark is not back. So... without talking about Superman being dead, they were able to, just with that little band, remind you of what's going on in the rest of the DC universe, which I thought was so well done.
Yeah,
that was
publication
cool.
wise, this is right around when we talked during the death and funeral issues. This is right around when Batman and Tim go to meet up with the other heroes to try to figure out how they can supplement what happened with Superman no longer being around. And so...
maybe that's why Batman's so tired, trips to Metropolis all the time. God,
well, exactly. If you put that into perspective, like, that is something else that's weighing on Superman, or on Batman. And we're going to talk about Batman's ecology of these episodes.
I think there's a lot of dirt and stuff weighing on Superman right now.
Yeah,
6 feet under.
Yeah.
Actually, Aaron, he was put in a tomb.
Yeah, that doesn't work with the joke, Ben. Come on.
I know, I'm sorry. He had to be put in a tomb with like a rock rolled in front of it, literally like Jesus. But we're not talking about Superman right now, so. Oh my God.
So they're training John Paul Valley to help out, and they're hoping that they can counteract his brainwashing. Robin gives him the sage advice that there's one thing you got to know: Batman never kills. And I think that's often forgotten. Like, everybody wants Batman to kill, but he doesn't. And that's a big part of these stories, is the everything that we have going on, Batman still doesn't cross that line. So his training continues, and in the next, the second of the three issues, we get the reintroduction of a villain that we haven't had for a little while. Our friend Killer Croc has survived his last encounter with Batman back in Batman 471. He lays lost and defeated in the storm tunnels of Gotham City. He's washed up onto the shore, and he's losing his mind. He's going to eat rats and chase homeless people around, and he's turning into the monster that everybody calls him.
I thought it was interesting that I don't know how long he was up on, up on the street, but it seemed like he'd gone a long time without having any human interaction, was able to stay in the shadows long enough to avoid seeing people again. And whenever he saw them, their reaction is to freak out, and he's thinking they're freaking out because he's scary and his appearance. So it's actually a self-fulfilling prophecy for Killer Croc that his appearance and the way he acts in response to people is causing them to run away and freak out in regard to him. So it's never going to be anything but that based on his reaction.
It's the whole, like, Frankenstein story, right? Uh-huh. Like, the monster doesn't want to be a monster, but can't help be a monster when everybody treats him that way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Or Croc.
And his rampage on Gotham attracts Bane, because Bane's been watching all of this. He's been tracking Batman's movements and Robin's, and he goes, he's like, well, if this Croc is such a threat, I'm going to prove that I'm a much bigger threat by taking this guy out of the picture. And he does that quite easily.
I really liked where Bane says, he snaps Croc's arm first, which was very, just like snapping like a chicken bone or something. It was not very difficult for him to do. And then he says something about, you're too ugly to hit. And then I liked it. He just, like, kicks him clear across, which was, I thought that was great, that he's just like, you're not even worth my time to hit you. I'm just going to, like, kick you to the side. Like, you're not even worth it.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for Croc. What was crazy about the arm breaking, and they reference this, is that right before that, fake Batman, a.k.a. John Paul Valley in the Batman costume, trying to lead Robin, got grabbed by Croc and crushed by Croc. So that right there shows how strong he was. And then Bane's just like, I don't want your arm snap. So I thought that really did a good job of showing how menacing Bane could be. And then he's like, oh, you're not Batman. And he just leaves.
Yeah, he just turns and walks away. And he notices so quickly that they're not the same person.
Right, yeah. He doesn't spend a lot of time figuring that out or waiting around. He just, and I like that he doesn't even, like, interact with them. He just says, you're not Batman. Doesn't attack, doesn't confront. They just are watching him destroy this villain that has laid them down without even a, hesitation. And the guy walks off being like, you're not Batman.
Yeah, and I think the only person that realizes the severity of that is Tim. He's like, well, crap. what this guy just did to Croc, and he, didn't even come after us. He's coming after you, Batman. And Tim tries to warn Bruce about that in the future of the issue after this, which we get even more interaction with Bane and some of the Rogues members. So another villain we haven't talked about comes back, Riddler and his crazy riddles.
Yeah,
fresh out of the Catwoman costume, back in his green outfit.
But this is his traditional outfit, not like what we maybe saw in the trailer a couple weeks ago that we were talked about.
I hated it, but I like this one.
Well, we'll see. Maybe this will show up, Ben. Maybe it'll show up. But you have Riddler, and he's trying to, he poses some riddles, like, which is his thing, to kind of lure Batman in, and you have Bane and Bane's buddies that are deciphering them almost faster than Batman, which says, you know, the detective is slipping a little bit here and how he's able to interpret the clues and get to Riddler before things explode or before he runs out of time, and he almost doesn't make it. So it's interesting that you can see how Batman is kind of deteriorating, because Riddler comments, "Oh, I thought Batman would be here by now," when the bomb's about to go off. You can see kind of a disappointment in there, and then Bane shows up and envenomates, I guess, Riddler.
He shoots him with little darts full of venom. I'm like, okay, that's a lot.
Well, that's another.
I mean, that immediately makes Riddler bigger and dumber.
yeah. Which we saw. That's what happens with the venom. We saw that when Batman was taking it in the supplement form, in the pill form, back in the Venom story early on. It breaks down your brain, and unfortunately Bane is so intelligent that the venom doesn't have that negative effect on him. But
are you saying Bane's more intelligent than Batman?
I think he's almost on par. Yeah.
Well, I think he's definitely smarter than the Robin.
Sorry. True.
That's true. Well, I love the another Saturday Night Live reference when he's like, "I'm going to pump you up."
Oh yeah.
That honestly, that took me out of the story, because that's such a like comedic dumb thing that I'm like, how are they saying this scene to be intimidating or like cool?
Yeah.
Well, I
agree.
It's throwing you out.
It was a little silly, but then the whole idea that the needles, and then Riddler's like this ballooned up, you know, guy in green spandex, and he can't
ripping out of his outfit.
He can't craft like a good riddle because his brain's all steroided up, and I thought that was good.
Right?
Yeah, he might as well just be go to where the go to the beach, like. The tide is rising, there's a bomb on it. Like, that was basically what his riddle was.
Yeah, basically. Here I am, Batman, come find me.
And yet, Batman is barely the first one to make it there. Like Aaron said, the Bane's thugs, Trog and Zombie and Bird, get there shortly after and blow Riddler away. Like, they just open fire with machine guns on him.
Well, obviously, he's not dead because, you know, it's Riddler and he'll be back, but... Nobody ever
died. This was a traumatic moment for him. Yeah.
It was.
Well, and they're not messing around.
No, they are not, yeah. So I think it's time to discuss little Bruce and his little night terrors that he's having.
as a segue into that, we did get a new character. We get to meet Dr. Chandra, who plays a big part in the story, who... is a doctor recommended to Bruce by Tim. So Tim is trying to help him, because this is the woman that has been working with Tim's father, who had been paralyzed. So Bruce meets with her, and she realizes off the bat that she's going to have to not just try to help him physically, but get into the mental to see what is making him.
Yeah, I think she realized he's nuttier than a fruitcake and needs way more. And, you know, Batman, at the beginning, Bruce is trying meditation. He's trying to get some rest. He actually passes out on the stairs, and Alfred, like, drops a tray of food, and he stumbles on him. And I think this is the most we've ever seen, I think, Bruce try to take a break from Batman or try to catch a breather. Or even try to take care of himself, but I don't think it's going to stick.
No, I mean, that's the problem, right? Like, even when he's trying to be restful, he can't rest at ease. He can't recuperate to the point that she has him on sedatives and he's still having night terrors and visions and calling out names in the dark. That's
I wrote down that Dr. Chandra wants to talk about his parents, and I was like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, lady. I really don't think he's going to be going there.
Yeah, well, even Bruce was like immediately like, no, I don't think that's a great idea.
Is there a bit of like romance there, or was I looking too into it?
No, I think there is an undertone to their relationship so far, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
The second issue, she seemed a lot more familiar and a lot more like, just listen to me, it'll be fine, and like personal than she did in the first one. And I was like, man, I hope you're not like this with Tim. But
that's right. Tim might know what to do anyway. So
clearly. Oh, sorry. There's one line in there that we'll get back to Bruce. But speaking of Tim and girls, when Bruce kicks him off to the curb, he's like, well, I'm not going home. I'm going to go hang out with my girlfriend. I'm like, dude, you need to follow Batman.
And that's the girl we met in Robin 3, right? The
Ariana Grande, yes.
Yeah,
Ariana Grande.
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
So we have Gordon in here, and we find out Gordon's already married. He mentions his wedding. So what do you think Gordon's wedding was like? Any ideas?
Catered by Burger King. A popcorn cake.
I was going to say the same thing.
It is wild. We got them getting back together, him and Sarah Essen. Essen, is that right? Yeah, him and Sarah Essen got back together, and then we find out that they were engaged, and then they were, like, struggling through the wedding planning, and now they're married. So I like that we're keeping up with it, but it's never actually, like, shown, which I think it's fine, because he's not the main character. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it shows that his priorities, you know, they're concerned about him noticing JPV not being actually the right Batman. Like, Tim warns Jean-Paul, like, you can't go see Gordon. You have to stay in the shadows because Gordon will know. And, you know, of all the people that would know, Gordon's going to be the one that's going to be able to tell that this is a ruse we're trying to put on. But
this...
I think with the wedding tied into everything that's going on, like it's showing that Gordon and Robin, and they're not maybe able to give Bruce and Batman the attention that he direly needs right now.
No, they're not.
They give him a lot, though. Like, they shouldn't be expected to give him everything.
Well, I don't think it's their fault, but I think it's also he's probably seen that they have other lives and other priorities, and that's just that much more weight that he's putting on himself to try to figure out on his own.
Right.
I'm going to counter that. I feel like it might be the other direction. Like, I feel like Tim was 100% like, hey, I'm here to do whatever you need, and then by being pushed away by Batman. And Batman doesn't let Gordon in on everything either. Like, I feel like their priorities are with Batman, with solving crime. But if he's going to be pushing away, then they're going to eventually get pushed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
To an extent.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think they have all tried to reach out to some degree, but he's not accepting that help. And I think as he witnesses Tim's relationship with his dad repairing, as he sees Gordon starting a new relationship with a woman who very clearly disapproves of Gordon and Batman having the partnership that they do, I think he's maybe... I mean, I think that's part of him wanting to bring in Jean-Paul Valley, is he's again trying to surround himself with people. He's trying to he's reaching out in his very Batman-esque way, where it's not healthy and it's not the right way to do it, and that ends up leading down a darker path for him.
Near the end here, we've got Bane, who's beat Batman to the last riddle, and they come and shoot the Riddler, which we mentioned, and then we cut to Bane and his goons in debriefing. It's like they're debriefing their mission afterwards. So how'd it go, fellas? What'd we see? we have so you see like blueprints, and I'm assuming that's Gotham, Arkham Asylum, right? That Bane is going to be releasing villains
but
from Arkham.
But it wasn't clear. Like, it didn't say Arkham. Like,
it does in the bottom. It does in the bottom of the blueprint in the bottom right corner.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it's cut off, so it does. It says Arkham ASY or something like that. So,
well, it does say the Arkham renovation. Yeah.
Well, it should have been more obvious.
I don't know. I like the subtlety of it
as well.
It's interesting that's. I like how they have like Bane and his people, you know, debriefing. I'm joking about that, but I like how they're going back and they're like, okay, this is what we noticed. This is where we're at, and this is what we think should be the next steps. And I think, you know, I'm excited to see where that goes.
Yeah, it's a job. Like, they're taking it seriously, and they're doing their duties, and it's very professional.
Yeah.
And very strategic, very laid out. Like, they've faced a slowly escalating group of villains, and they've watched Batman face these villains, and they're ready to turn up the volume on the crazy and push Batman push him back.
They don't
want
to turn up the volume. They want to pump it up.
You're right. I missed that. Damn it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
They're going to pump up the volume.
Well, on that note.
Damn, pump it up.
Technotronic, let's go. All right, that brings back way too many flashbacks from the 90s.
get used to that for the next two seasons, because this is like the most 90s ever. Like, I feel very wrapped up in the 90s the last
any other thoughts season and a half. Are you ready for review?
No, I covered all my notes for it, I think.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible. Right. Horrendous. I'm offended. I'm appalled. Right.
That was
awesome. Right. Whoa,
yes.
Yes.
Right. No! I enjoyed it. I liked it. I like that we have some of our main villains back. I like we're seeing a different side of Bruce, and I like that, you know, he's got other people in his corner. Although he doesn't want them there, or he wants them there, but he's not willing to open up to them being there. I think the intelligence of Bane and how he's really deliberate and planning and plotting, and I'm looking forward to see how that plays out. I've never read any of the Nightfall books, so I'm excited as we go through this to find out what happens. So definitely, nice. Definitely check these out. You got some good villains in here, and worth a read.
Great. Well, I have read Nightfall, but I hadn't read these books. Jake did not succeed in his pitching of them to me. but I knew about them, and I really enjoyed this. On their own, are they like amazing comics? They're very 90s, but they were super fun to read. A really good lead into what's to come. And it was all sorts of nostalgia. Like, even though I haven't read them, I could see exactly where I was in my life and what I was reading when Jake was reading these. So I enjoyed it a lot. And I think that if you are reading along with us at all, you need to get into season 5 and you need to read all of what we're telling you to read.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I think this is an excellent example of setting the stage and setting the board for the game that's about to start. Like, now all of these pieces from the tail end of our previous season with introduction of Bane, introduction of Azrael, Batman's exhaustion, Tim Drake's real role in the Batman-Robin relationship, all of that stuff is now laid out, plain to see, and we're about ready to get into it, and it's going to start immediately in the next book review. And I think these are great teasers. They really get you pumped up for what's to come, and I think they succeeded.
Yeah.
Even all these years afterwards, I think they're a good lead-in.
Awesome. So what's next, Jake?
Well,
what are we going to get pumped up for?
So guys,
we're playing a game, aren't we, Aaron?
We are playing a game next week.
Yeah. Aaron's got a game planned for us. We, at this point in time, do not know what it is. So,
I'm excited.
We'll all be surprised. If you guys are reading along with us, the next books that we're going to do are Batman 491, 492, Detective Comics 659, and Batman 493. So if you're out looking for them, that's 491 is not, it's the last quote-unquote prelude issue before Nightfall starts being numbered. And then that's Nightfall 1, 2, and 3. 491 is included in the Nightfall, in every Nightfall trade. I think there it's actually kind of a misstep that it wasn't numbered that way, but we'll talk about that during the episode maybe. Okay. But four issues, 491 to 493 with Detective 659 slipped in between those.
All beans. What did we learn, Aaron?
Well, Ben, let's find out.
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
What's the day of, what's the moral of today's story, Aaron?
It was catered by BK and popcorn cake.
Yes!
I would
All
eat
I care about
cake.
Is that I always am the one that says the moral. That's my favorite.
A lot of times you are. A lot of times.
All right, guys. Well, for the Brotherhood of Batman, I am Jake. I'm excited for the rest of the season to come, so stay tuned.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I'll clean this up. Thanks for listening.
I'm Ben, baby brother, your sunshine in Gotham, and I'm actually not going to hate what we're reading. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hopes of bitterest plants this